A very warm welcome to all friends and visitors from near and far. I pray that your coming today will be a high point of your week, perhaps of your year. And I greet you in the words of the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks to us from heaven, and he says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Praise God, we worship a living Savior. How sad it was for some of us here, for my great-grandfather and family, worshiping dead gods and idols in the house. And there are still those who do that. How sad. No better news than for us to go and tell them lovingly. There is a God who saves to the uttermost from hell and from everlasting destruction. This is the news of Easter, dear friends. And the best attested event in all of history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? There was a lawyer in London, and he said, "I will prove by my expert training in law of evidence." Those of you who are lawyers understand what we talk about. "And I will write a book to debunk this theory of resurrection," he set out. He wrote, as he researched and wrote, the end of the book was, "It cannot be refuted. The doctrine of resurrection is absolutely rock fast. You cannot disprove it." But he did not believe in Jesus Christ, although he believed in the doctrine, you know. Very sad. Dear friends, eyewitness accounts are plentiful. Only people will not soften their heart and believe. Do you believe? I speak to some friends here. Maybe if attended our church for some time, maybe for years even, maybe some other church, and you keep going and listening and the thing sounds okay, but your heart has not open to receive the Lord as your own Savior, the one who alone can save you out of your death coming and the everlasting destruction of your soul in hell. So I say, receive him today. There is no better news than to know that Jesus saves, Jesus lives, Jesus waiting for you, wanting to be your Savior. What are you waiting for? Today, very prominently published in the Sunday Times, is a very prominent banker. 2 days ago, the doctor says, "You are very well. We are preparing to let you home." This morning, the paper says he's dead and gone. How sad. And yet it is a picture of life. You can never be certain. You can never know. As the Word of God says, you cannot be sure even of tomorrow. So the lesson is, coming to church today, on this Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, please do not leave until you have settled this question. Do you have Jesus as your Savior in your heart? The one you love, the only one you trust. This is our message for today. And as I said, it is an eyewitness record. You turn to today's Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Yes. Verse 6, this is the evidence. Here came the women early in the morning. What were they coming for? To embalm the body of Jesus. Did they know? Did they believe that Jesus was risen? Of course not. Then what did they find? Verse 6, and the angel said to them, be not afraid. I know you come to seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. All three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have the same words from the angel. He is not here. You've come to the wrong place to look for Jesus. He's already gone from here because he is risen. Dear friends, you came to church to look for Jesus. Is he the living Christ that you're looking for, or just a name, somebody who lived but died and buried and rotted away? This is the problem today with churches who do not believe Jesus Christ is risen. He's not here. Oh, my friends, now we go back. I want to spend the next half an hour with you, starting from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. And as we go along, I want to ask you questions that you may ask yourself. What are you doing here? Reading through this story, does it touch your heart? How much do you really care for the Lord Jesus? This is what really matters, and not your physical presence in the church today. It's good to see all of you. I say once again, welcome. It's so good. But it is the best thing, far, far better than just seeing you here, to know that you have really loved the Lord Jesus and received him. As we read through this story, you are going to meet with various characters, events and people which are read again and again, but you never pondered, never stopped and think, who are these people? What are they doing there? Did they really feel for Jesus? Why did they feel so much for Jesus? These are the questions you must ask yourself. So please look with me. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 39. When the centurion, who is the centurion? What does he do for a living? Do you know? He has a number of soldiers under him. How many soldiers did he have? 100. That's why he's called centurion. Century means 100. Right. When this centurion, now by the way, in all the Bible records of centurions, all the accounts of the centurions are of good people. Amazing. Roman officers in the army. And every time it mentioned, it was a good mention. I do not know what the significance is, but God was merciful to them, that they understood far more of spiritual truth than the Jews themselves. And here is a centurion. Listen to what he said. He stood over against Jesus. You know that the crucifixion was an execution conducted by the authority. Who were the authority? Please, you can go today to a place called Jerusalem, a real place. You can go there. Indeed, in November, we have a group going. You may wish to join them. Yeah. And then you can see there and stand there and feel the kind of tension, the kind of sorrow, and the kind of excitement when the people came and there were those who shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. And the soldiers came and did the awful execution. Have you ever seen an execution? How do you feel? Please follow me. The centurion who was watching all these goings on, and when he heard Jesus cry out and die, he was moved. Are you moved? That the Son of God, the giver of life, the creator, can die. He is the giver of life. Why should he die? Can he really die? Dear friends, did you ever ask yourself, how can God Almighty, the Creator, die? Answer, because He took on flesh and blood like you and me. And that makes Him able to die for us. Now, when the centurion saw this happen, it touched his heart. He heard all the words Jesus spoke. He heard how the people abused Him, and He answered not a word. That impressed him. Does it impress you? What did he say? Truly, this man was the Son of God. What a confession. Do you confess this? For if you do, you will love Him. For you see Him come from heaven, born in a manger. Christmas time, we celebrate His coming. Then He grew up in the carpenter's shop. He goes round and He tells people, you want to follow Me? Think carefully. Birds have nests, foxes have holes. I, the Son of Man, have nowhere to lay His head. You want to follow Me? Consider carefully. So this Roman soldier says, my, truly this man is not an ordinary man. He recognized that. Do you recognize it? Verse 40, there were also women folk looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joseph, and Salome, three ladies standing far away. If you read earlier, they were by the side of the cross when Jesus was being crucified. They were quite close. Now they move further on and observe from afar. They want to see what happens to the body of Jesus because they were preparing to go and embalm that body. Why? Ever think of why these ladies had that intention? Why? Answer, because they were so grateful to the Son of God for what they had done. Mary Magdalene, infested with seven demons. Even one demon is enough. He got seven. Until she met Jesus, and Jesus saved her. I must go and do my part. How about Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joseph? Yes, she also was grateful that Jesus took on James to be one of them, one of the disciples and apostles. And Salome, who is Salome? Mother of James and John. Yeah. Do you remember one day she brought the two sons to see Jesus? She says, Lord, I know You're going to head the kingdom. You're going to be the king. How about, please, my two sons, let them sit on your right and your left. That is Salome. And she looked forward to the kingdom of God. But what will happen to this great kingdom when the king is crucified on the cross? There she was, waiting to see what will happen. Do you ever think of these events? Verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed Him and ministered unto Him, and many other women which came up with Him unto Jerusalem. And these women, where did they come from? Please understand, in those days, there were no motor roads, no motor vehicles. And where was Galilee? 70, 80 miles away. And these women came all the way to Jerusalem. What for? Because of Jesus, they wanted to see the king and the kingdom, how it will come. But they met with a crucifixion. Verse 42. Now when even was come, because it was the preparation. What is the preparation? Here there is a very precious lesson you all can learn. If you ask me, what is the preparation in our case? I say it's Saturday. That's a day of preparation. For them, it was the Friday. Preparing for what? To the Jews, the Sabbath, which was a Saturday, was a great day. And so they must prepare. Prepare to drop down all their work and to prepare to keep the Holy Sabbath. Do you have a day of preparation? What is the day of preparation? Saturday. Because the Lord's day is our Sabbath. And the next day, that is today, is the day we meet with our Lord risen from the dead. This is the day. When is the day of preparation? Read on. That is the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. Did you ever prepare? The day of preparation is Saturday. So please remember, these things are an encouragement to you and me to think. Don't just say, wow, today is Saturday, is Sunday. Now I have to go to church. Now quickly prepare. No, your preparation is not on Sunday morning. Your preparation is on Saturday. Latest by the evening. Better still from Saturday morning. Remembering the Lord, you know, tomorrow is the day I present myself to worship my Savior. I must prepare. So this is the way they prepared. So they took note. Today is the day of preparation. Now, let's see what happened next. Page 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. He is like, almost like a minister of state. Maybe an MP. Something, somebody great. He had believed in Jesus privately, secretly. And he waited for the kingdom of God. And he went in by now. Wow, my hero Jesus is dead. What must I do? I've kept my faith secret. Nobody knew that I was a Christian. But now I will show it. I go straight to who? Pilate. Pilate, the governor from Rome, governing over the whole of Israel, of Jerusalem. So he went in boldly. God gave him the courage. Now at last, Joseph, don't be such a coward. Go and look up the governor. And he asked for the body. Verse 44, Pilate marveled, wow, is he really dead already? Many of those executed will hang on to the next day. Can you imagine the cruel and the painful death? You cannot imagine, you cannot even wonder how they survive. Do you know how they breathe when they're on the cross? Do you know how they breathe? Every breath you take, you have to stand up because you're hanging like that and your lungs cannot move, the chest cannot move unless you stand up and your feet are pierced with nails. Then you stand up, take a breath. How painful it is to keep alive. And some of them go overnight. Pilate marveled. Jesus was dead already. And asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew that Jesus was dead, he agreed to give the body to Joseph. Verse 46. And he brought fine linen and took it him down. He bought. I said, dear friends, when you think of doing something for Jesus, do your best. Joseph of Arimathea could have taken the old cloths, old linen from the house, but no, he loved Jesus. Even Jesus did not know him. At least he thought he did not know. But I tell you, our Lord knows everyone. Verse 46, he bought fine linen. What you offer to the Lord knows very well. Your heart, how you give, how you love him, is shown on what you give to him. He bought fine linen and took him down. Can you imagine? How do you take Jesus down? take down the cross, unpick the nails, and lovingly wash the body, make it clean, and then wrap him in new. Just purchase linen cloth and laid him in a sepulchre. A sepulchre is a hole in the wall, is a room you dig in solid rock. Those of us who've been to Jerusalem and Holy Land, we've seen many of these tombs. It's like a little room. Inside the room is a slab of rock, and this is where they put the body. It could be two in the bigger ones, two, three, four. Small ones, one. And there, Joseph put Jesus. Whose tomb was it? Answer, his tomb. He was a rich man. He had prepared for his own burial. And he had this hole, this chamber dug into the rock and preparing for the day he would die and he'll be buried there. But he never anticipated Jesus would die first. And so because he loved Jesus, he put him into his own tomb, brand new. You know, when you read Isaiah's book, chapter 53, we are all very familiar with it. He made his tomb with the rich. Whereas many of these, by the time you are crucified, your body belongs to the state. And they are abused, thrown around, maybe eaten by dogs. Not the body of Jesus. Joseph loved Jesus. And his own tomb, brand new, unused, is reserved. And the new linen bought, that's how he honored his Lord. And he rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. This is the way they seal the tomb, you know, a big piece of rock. Cut out, more or less circular, but very thick and very big to block the door. How can you do it unless you're quite strong? Verse 47, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Why? Because they are planning, we will come and embalm the body of Jesus on the day after the Sabbath, that is Sunday. The next day is Sabbath. On the Sabbath, you do not go make a long journey. You do not do any work. You just observe the holy Sabbath day of rest. Do you? Today, Sunday, is treated like any other day. Anything goes. In the old days, they never played football on Sunday in England, you know. Today is where the biggest matches are played on Sunday. And everybody must stay awake and watch. Here are the ladies waiting. Tomorrow is Sabbath. We must do our things today. And then, as soon as Sabbath is over, Sunday morning, they came. Verse 1, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, and Salome, the three who had followed Jesus from Galilee all the way, 70, 80 miles, probably on foot, maybe on donkey. That's not very comfortable, I can assure you. Why did they do that long trip? Because they loved Jesus. They were grateful for what Jesus had done for them. Let us understand, if you say you follow Jesus, if you say Jesus is your Lord, ask yourself, how much do I really love him? How much am I willing to sacrifice? How much trouble am I willing to go through to be worthy of Jesus? Verse 1, they bought sweet spices, and that is not cheap, dear friends, sweet spices to embalm Jesus. And they bought about 100 pounds. It's a lot of spices and very sweet perfume spices that they may come and anoint Jesus. Verse 2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, that is Sunday morning, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now, another question. What time do you think these women woke up that morning? What time? When they reached the tomb, the sun was just rising. Let's say it was 6 a.m. Nowadays, the sun here doesn't rise till about 7 a.m. Yeah. But to reach there at the sunrise, how much time did they have to spend? We do not know, but it could be half an hour, could be 1 hour, could be 2 hours, depending on where you live, and the number of hours or minutes you got to spend walking. I can assure you there's no MRT or anything else to take. You just have to walk because it is before dawn. The devotion of Mary Magdalene. She never forgot. I was accosted and infested with 7 demons, and Jesus saved me. How about you? What has God done for you? And you come to worship, how many hours do you travel on the road? And how can I, if I come to honor my Lord, come late? No, dear friends. All right, very early in the morning they came. The sun was just rising. And verse 3, they said to themselves, wow, before they arrived, they remembered why they were there on Friday night. And they saw the big stone. Who's going to move the stone for us? When they came, verse 4, they were surprised, amazed. Stone was rolled away already. That is the first evidence, dear friends. Who moved the stone? Why should anyone come in the midst of night before it was dawn to move that heavy stone which covers the mouth to the grave in which is a dead body? Who on earth will come and do that? Do you ever ask yourself? Verse 5, entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting. Wow, who is this young man? You ever seen an angel? Those who have seen angels in the record of the Bible were terrified because angels are very powerful and amazing beings created by God and very impressive. So when they saw this young man, they were terrified. Where does it say so? Read on. So, sitting on the right side, clothed in the white, long white garment, and they were affrighted, equals terrified. Verse 6, and he said to them, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, aren't you? Of course. He was crucified. But he is risen, he's not here. These 6 words are the most wonderful, rock-firm, irrefutable evidence Jesus has risen. First the angel, second the open tomb, and third the missing body. And of course, the absolute greater evidence is coming when Jesus himself appears and says, peace, peace be unto you. And you, again, you are afraid. You're terrified, who is this person? Is he a ghost? And he came through the closed doors. I'm describing to you what is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Yes. Jesus comes and speaks to them. These evidences you cannot refute. But to know is one thing. To believe and to embrace Jesus is another. Have you embraced Jesus? To know that he's the living Savior, the creator of the world, who died for you and who rose for you, is coming for you. Do you love him? How do you love him? Verse 7, now the angel says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. I want you to note this and Peter. And Peter includes all who have failed the Lord Jesus. Please understand. Anyone here who has ever failed the Lord Jesus, who feels sorry that I wasn't quite loyal to Jesus. For Peter denied the Lord 3 times. I don't know him. What are you talking about? Who is Jesus? I got nothing to do with this man. 3 times, and he cursed, saying, yeah, I don't know him. And when Jesus rose, when Jesus sent a message, what did he say? Tell my disciples, and Peter, don't miss out this poor man. I know how he has been grieving, how he has regretted, how he has been sorrowing, because three times he denied me. I know all that. Tell him I'm alive again, and I want to see him in Galilee. That's a good message, isn't it? To all who have ever sinned against Jesus, who have failed him, here is hope. Jesus says, I am alive forevermore, and I see you in Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said. Our dear friends, there's so much we can learn from this chapter. And they went up quickly, and they ran because the sight of the angel was so terrifying. For they trembled and were amazed. Verse 8, neither said they anything to any man, simply because they were just so terrified to see an angel and think of Jesus, the King of angels, the one who created the angels. How do you think you will be when you see Jesus? Our dear friends, let us search ourselves today. Now, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. How would you like to meet the risen Jesus? Can you see him? Not with your eye, the physical eye, but with your mind's eye, with the spiritual eyes, you see him. And he's ever so kind and so loving. And he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Why did he appear to her first? Answer, because Jesus knew how much she suffered and how she was rescued and how grateful she was. Come so early in the morning. There's nothing that makes me feel happier on the Lord's Day than to see the church half full, half an hour before service. It happens, you know. It happens. You come here at 10 o'clock, 5 past 10, and about half full. And then we see the song leader leading in song. This is an expression of love. You cannot anymore go to Jesus' tomb at 6 a.m. and say, Jesus, I've come here to pay my respects. I bought some nice perfume for you. But Jesus rewards Mary Magdalene for her devotion, appearing to her first. Is that a priority? Is that an honor? Absolutely. Absolutely. If someone loves you most, when he comes from abroad, he goes first to your house to visit you. You feel so happy. So-and-so remembers me. Think of Mary Magdalene. Seven devils cast out. And Jesus says, on my resurrection day, I will appear to her first. You come and let Jesus appear to you every Lord's Day. Make it your priority. This is the Lord's Day. I will be there. And out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now, verse 10. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of Mary Magdalene, believed not. Amazing. Dear friends, the most amazing thing, far more amazing than believing, is those who did not want to believe. Amazing. Do you know that Jesus told his disciples again and again and again, I will die for you, but I will rise for you. And did they believe? No, they did not believe. After the resurrection, Mary told the disciples, I have seen Jesus. They said, go on with you. You're telling all long, tall tales, long stories. They did not want to believe. Amazing. You say, So terrible, isn't it? What about Thomas? Remember doubting Thomas? The first Sunday night, Jesus appeared to the 10 without Thomas. And Thomas came along and the other disciples told him, "Hey, Thomas, where were you? We have seen Jesus." "Oh, go on with it. Don't tell me it's fairy tales. Until I see Jesus myself and put my finger into the nail prints, I won't believe you." The next Sunday, Jesus appeared. What did Thomas say? I said, "Dear friends, we have not seen Jesus. Have you? With your mind's eye, see him, the lovely Jesus, our Savior, who paid the price. Jesus paid it all to rescue us from death, rose for our justification, coming again. Are you ready for him?" Verse 13, "And they went and told it unto the rest, neither did they believe." Wow. Who will believe? Will you believe? If you believe without seeing, Jesus says, it is blessed. The day that Thomas saw Jesus and they said, "My Lord, my God," of course, meaning, "Forgive me for doubting that you rose from the dead." What did Jesus say? Can you remember? "Blessed are they who believe without seeing." And this is my message to you today. Blessed. You never saw Jesus with your eyes. But when you read the word, it spoke to you. He's not here. He's risen. You say, "Amen. My Lord is alive." And he says from heaven, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning of history. The ending of history is all mine, under my control. And I am coming again." Jesus says from heaven, "Behold, I come quickly." This is the risen Christ. If Jesus is alive and living and in heaven praying for you, he says, "I'm coming back. Are you ready?" The message of Easter is not just to go away with a nice feeling and say, "Well, I can die, but Jesus is there waiting for me." But I say, Jesus is coming for you. That is even more exciting. So today, let us end with this thought. My Lord is coming from heaven. And what did he say here? Verse 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and he that believes is baptized shall be saved." Let's do that. Let's go and tell. Please, let's resolve. If Easter is anything, let it start with you. Are you concerned for someone in your home who is not serving the Lord? Are you concerned? Jesus says, "Go and tell them the gospel." Let this concern you. Move your heart every day in this year ahead of us. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your holy name. We thank thee that Jesus Christ was willing to bear our sins on his own body on the cross, and that he rose from the dead by thy almighty power. For thou didst honor thy own Son to raise him from the dead and accord him all power on earth, in heaven, under the earth, everywhere, so that our Lord Jesus today sits almighty. And one day he's coming, and at his name, every tongue shall confess, every knee will bow and say, "Jesus is Lord." Thank thee for being our Lord, Lord Jesus. Come and make your home in our hearts to change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.